In the book of Joshua, and we're going to continue on in that series on Wednesday nights for quite some time here. It's a great book of the Bible, great stories that are going on, and I think you're going to enjoy it. I know I've enjoyed the first couple lessons. I've had the opportunity to study and to be able to present here. Joshua chapter number 2. We're going to go ahead and read the passages of Scripture here. It's going to be the whole entire chapter. And it tells us the story of Rahab. The title of tonight's message is Rahab, God Blesses Rahab's Faith. And Joshua 1:11, which will be in the Mr. Bruce on the next slide, in Joshua 1:11, it's kind of, I know it's not really the theme verse, but it gives the idea. It says, Joshua here last week was given, be strong and of a good courage. And he was told, let's rise up, let's follow, let's lead these people. Joshua 1:11 says, pass through the host and command the people, saying, prepare ye the victuals. And that's not what we're going for. But it says, for within 3 days, you can have victory through him. Paul Chappell wrote it this way. It is the ultimate picture of pathetic living. Finite humans indwelled by an infinite God, crawling and clawing through life with their own frailty, rather than soaring on the wings of divine enabling. We try to just make it through life with our own strength, that we try to claw, we try to just, where God says you can have victory. You don't have to live in a defeated lifestyle. God has offered us victory. We are not servants of sin anymore. God says you can have victory over those sins, that we've been risen with Christ and that we're no longer serving the sin. Like we learned in Romans, there's chapter 12, Romans chapter 6, just a wonderful passage of Scripture. So what do you get from this from Rahab? You think about it, many times the reason why people do not live the victorious Christian life that they could is because of their past. And Rahab gives us a perfect example of a girl who has a bad past, a lady who has a bad past, but God still blesses her. She doesn't let her past hold her back from receiving the blessings of God and the victories of God and God saving her and God saving her family and putting her in the line of Christ, even taking her from a house of shame and putting her in the hall of faith. And Hebrews chapter number 11, she didn't let her past stop her. And Christian, what I'm trying to tell you tonight, don't use your past as some type of excuse. There's victory that you can have through Jesus Christ. And, you know, some people say, well, I can't do that. I can't. You don't know what I've done, Pastor. You don't know what I've said. You don't know all the things I've experienced. And that's what is a wonderful illustration here with Rahab. Some people believe the lie of the devil. They can't serve God because of what they've done before in the past. And sometimes there are things that you're not able to do because of past sin. And sometimes you're taken off. There are certain requirements, I think, for to be a pastor and to be a deacon. And there are certain things that maybe you're not qualified because, but you can serve the Lord. We see a woman who has a wicked past, but God blesses her faith. And I believe God wants to bless us. God wants to increase his blessing in our lives when it comes to our faith increases. You know, in the Word of God, it talks about searching to and fro, looking for the person whose heart's right with him, perfect towards him. I know that's not a perfect quote, but it says to show himself strong in that individual's life. You know, he says, I'm looking to and fro for someone to take up the hedge and make up the hedge. He's looking for someone who has the faith that he can bless, and he finds it in this prostitute. And then God says, she's got faith. That's someone I can use. Doesn't matter what her past was, she's somebody I can use. And what an amazing story. Rahab is a picture of the power of God that can transform any life that comes to him by faith. What we'll see tonight is that the Lord takes sinners who place their faith in him and changes them by the power and grace of God. And I want you to think about, number one, is if you are saved, which I know most of you profess salvation, praise the Lord tonight as you can say that he has changed your life. But if you're not a child of God, let the Lord speak to your heart about, you know, even God can clean up any life if he can clean up the life of Rahab. Let's read Joshua chapter number 2. It says, and Joshua, the son of Nun, sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, go view the land, even Jericho. And they went and came into the harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. Now you say, Pastor, they're sending out spies. That's not good. Well, there's a difference between these spies. The 12 spies were to see whether or not they could conquer the land, whether or not they should go. These two spies are being sent out so that way they can just look at the land. They're going over Jordan. They're going to take this fight. They're just looking for some idea of what's going on in the land. It says in verse number 2, and it was told the king of Jericho. So the two spies enter into the land. Someone sees them saying, behold, there came men into came in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country. So they're discovered. Verse number 3, and the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab. Now these two guys went into the Rahab's house, saying, bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thine house, for they be come to search out all the country. They go and say, Rahab, bring out the guys. Now you're going to see here that Rahab is going to lie. You know, was Rahab right in her lying, and Rahab was God blessed? You know, that's for another message more than this tonight, because that's not what we're focusing on. Rahab, if she is a believer right now, she is a new believer, she is a young believer, and does God need someone to lie to be able to take care of his people? No, God can do anything. But Rahab does lie. God does take care of it. It says, and the woman took the two men and hid them and said thus, there came men unto me, but I wist not whence they were. Now, once again, they're talking here to the men, saying, look, there was people that came unto me. I don't know which way they came or where they from. And it came to pass that about the time of the shutting of the gate, when it was dark, that the men went out. Whether the men went, I would not. She says, okay, when they were shutting the gate, the guys already left. And then she tells them to go pursue after them quickly, for ye shall overtake them. If you hurry up and get out of my house and don't look around, if you hurry up and get out of my house, you might be able to catch them. Get going. And they listened to her. But she had brought them up to the roof of the house and hid them with the stalks of flax, which she had laid in order upon the roof. And the men pursued after them the way to Jordan unto the fords. And as soon as they which pursued after them were gone or were gone out, they shut the gate. So they're trying to secure. Okay, if they're still in the city somewhere, we're going to make sure they don't get out. And before they were laid down, before they went to sleep, she came up unto them upon the roof. And she said unto them, I know that the Lord hath given you the land. So this is Rahab talking to the spies here. I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror has fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. So they're already fearful. They know Israel's coming, and they're already disheartened. They're already discouraged. They know that Israel's going to win this battle. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you. Now, this is kind of interesting if you think about it. How long ago was that? Remember, they've been wandering around the desert for 40 years here. God has been trying to, for 40 years they've heard this story, and finally this group has come up, and for 40 years they still hear this story. So it's kind of interesting. You see the grace that God is giving to the people of Jericho. He has given himself a testimony. He has given himself a testimony amongst all nations, and how people can repent, and how people can turn back to God, and how people have heard this story, and there is a one true God. And the one true God is the God of heaven and earth that Rahab begins to put his faith in. As Rahab puts her faith in, what happens? She is saved. What about everybody else? They've heard the same story. They're all discouraged. Their heart is melting within them. But do we see them responding in faith to the one true God? No. That's the difference here. He keeps on going. It says, and when you came out of Egypt, and what you did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any courage in any man because of you, for the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. So we don't see this people waiting for the nation of Israel, saying to the nation of Israel, we know that you serve the one true God. We're submitting to you. We're giving up. No. They're going to fight. They're going to do what they can because they haven't put their faith and trust in God as Rahab has. And now she says to him, she's going to make an agreement. Now, therefore, I pray you swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that you will also show kindness unto my father's house and give me a true token, and that ye will save alive my father and my mother and my brother and my sisters and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. So the two spies answer her, and the men answered her, our life for yours, if ye utter not this our business. If you don't tell anybody, then we'll take care of you. And it shall be when the Lord hath given us the land that we will deal kindly and truly with thee. And Rahab's putting her life in danger by hiding the spies, by lying to the king. But she is putting her faith and trust in the God of the Hebrews. Then she let them down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. And she said unto them, get you to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you, and hide yourselves there 3 days until the pursuers be returned, and afterward may ye go your way. So she gives them advice. She says, look, it takes them about 3 days. They're going to come back. She knows what happens. Once again, with her past employment, she would have heard a lot of gossip. She would have heard a lot of different things about how things work. That's how she probably even heard about the Israelites and about how they were fearful of them. But you continue on. It says, verse 17, and the men said unto her, we will be blameless of this thine oath, which thou hast made us swear. Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread. So they're saying the scarlet thread must remain in the window, in the window which thou didst let us down by. Thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's household home unto thee. They says, look, the only way we're going to protect them is if they're in your house and you have the scarlet robe that is going to signify which house it is. And it shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of thy house into the street, if someone leaves the house, his blood shall be upon his head, and we will be guiltless. And whosoever shall be with thee in the house, his blood shall be on our head. We'll stand up for them, if any hand be upon him. And if thou utter this our business, then we will be quit of thine oath, which thou hast made us to swear. And she said, according unto your word, so be it. And she sent them away, and they departed, and she bound the scarlet line in the window. And they went and came unto the mountain and abode there 3 days, and the pursuers were returned, and the pursuers sought them throughout all the way, but found them not. So she listened to their advice, worked good for them. So the two men returned. Now these two guys, they're rejoicing here. They're excited. And descended from the mountain and passed over and came to Joshua the son of Nun and told him all things that befell them. And they said unto Joshua, truly the Lord hath delivered him and delivered into our hands all the land, for even all the inhabitants of the country do faint because of us. Joshua gets this encouraging word. Look, they're already scared. They're already fainting. Their heart's melting. And look how God provided for us. Look how God's protected us. And they're pumped. They're ready to go. They're ready to possess the land. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer, and then we'll look at this message. God blesses Rahab. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I'm thankful for today. Thankful for the chance to be able to stand, Lord, in your pulpit, Lord, to be able to preach your word. And Lord, I pray that tonight as we continue on in the book of Joshua, that we rise up and we see that there's portions of our life that we're not taking advantage of when it comes to your promises. Lord, when we have the Holy Spirit of God residing in us and we still live according to our own desires and our own ways and our own logic and our own reasoning, help us to see what we're missing out on. Help us to possess the fruit that you want us to have. Help us to be strong and of a good courage. Help us to stand up for what is right. Help us to be willing to continue on conquering the land that you've given us to do. Lord, help us not to shy away, but instead, Lord, help us to see what you've been promising us and how much we have been leaving on the table, in a sense. Lord, help us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Three things I want you to see, and the first thing is Rahab and her condition. I want to show you something. And you say, well, why do you want to bring up all the bad stuff about Rahab? It's because I want you to, when we go through this point about Rahab and her condition, is I want you to see here that there is something that's going on. It's the next one, Mr. There you go. I want you to remember this. You were in the exact same spot. When we go back and we say, okay, Rahab, she was defiled. She was. She sold her body for money. She was a harlot. She was a prostitute. She was something that was defiled. But remember, it's a picture of us also that are unsaved. We're sinners. We're separated from God. The Bible says in Isaiah 59:2, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. You know, it's the idea here. We're all sinners. We're all in this spot. Whether maybe we weren't a harlot, maybe we weren't didn't go through what we would consider the big sins, we're all separated from God. Now, I want you to get us to understand, Rahab, in her condition, she was defiled, and she was living in a pagan city. And yes, she did sell her body to men. And yes, she was hopeless, and she was helpless in her condition. But the Bible tells us that at the time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world, is the same situation that we were all in. So when we come here and we look at this story and we say, you know what, God blesses Rahab. You know what? God can bless us too. We were all defiled. We were all were sinners. We all were, we had wickedness. We have a sin nature. And not only was she defiled, she was dead too. What do you mean dead? I'm not obviously talking about physically. I'm talking about spiritually. The Bible says, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. Rahab was living her life, but spiritually she was devoid of life. She was dead in her sins. And then you think about it, she was doomed. Jericho had it was doomed. There was destruction coming to Jericho. The Lord was going to judge Jericho. Everybody knew it. Everybody in verse 10, 11, 12 says that the nation of Jericho knew that what was going to happen. But you know what? We were doomed too. You know, if we don't forget what we were before we were saved, that we were sinners, we were lost, we were without hope, we were in a hopeless condition. It says in Ephesians 2:12, hope without God in the world. We had no hope. We had no promise. But when we accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, everything changes. And we were doomed. Bible says John 3:18, it says, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. The sentence already been passed. The judgment's already been made. If you do not know Christ, you're condemned already. You're going to die and spend eternity in hell. And it's just the truth of it. This is what Rahab was, her condition. And I want to get to this and help you understand this. That's the way we all were. So before we start looking down our noses at someone and says, well, I know what they used to do, and I know what they used to say. I know where they came from. You know what? That's where we all were. We were all lost without Christ. We were all without hope. We were all in their debt, in their trespasses and sin. And if you be careful about seeing what God can do in a life, God has given them, as I mentioned earlier, 40 years of warnings. Israel's coming. God's dried up the Red Sea for them. Don't let your past life stop you from believing what God can do in your life today. Don't let that be an excuse. Pastor, you don't know this. You don't know why I got. No, Rahab in her condition. She was probably more wicked than what any of us else would have said about things that we've done in the past. But what does God do? We're going to see that God blesses her faith. And God will bless your faith too. Do not let this past be an excuse why you can't serve him. First, you see Rahab in her condition. Second thing I want you to see is Rahab in her confession. Rahab in her confession. By this time the spies arrive in Jericho, Rahab has already known something about the Lord. I kind of look at this. Look what it says in verse number 9. And she said unto the men, I know that the Lord have given you the land and that your terror has fallen upon us. And before they even have a chance to say who they were and who they were talking about, she already knows. She already is giving confession. She already is already saying, I believe in your God. I know what your God can do. You say, where does it show that she believes in God? Well, look what it says. He says in verse number 9, I know that the Lord have given you the land and that your terror has fallen upon us and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea. Go down to verse number 11. And as soon as we have heard that we had heard these things, our hearts did melt. So how does she respond? She hears about the Lord. It says, for the Lord your God, at the end of verse number 11, for the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and earth beneath. She's saying, I don't believe in all these other false gods. I believe in your God. So how do you see that? Where do you see that? First you see it and she confesses it. But then you also see, not only does she confess it, but what does she do? She reacts to it. All the people of Jericho had heard. All the people of Jericho had become discouraged. All of them were melting at heart, supposedly. But there was one who says, I'm willing to help these spies. There's one who's saying, I'm willing to do a work to show that the truth and belief that I have. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:31, by faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not when she had received the spies of peace. So it's saying she didn't perish with those that did not believe. Yes, they knew of God. They knew of the Lord. They knew of the Red Sea, but they didn't believe in him. But she confesses a belief in him. And then not only does she confess a belief in him, she claims in verses 12 and 13 that God will help save her and save her family. So not only is she saying, okay, I believe there is a God, I believe the God of Israel is the one that is taking care of is the God of heaven and the God of earth, but I also am going to trust him to save me from the coming destruction. And this is what salvation is. It's not just knowing about God, because even the devils believe there's a God. And I know there's many people out there that says they're atheists, but I have a hard time believing that anybody would really truly say there was no type of God. And I know people would argue with me, but they can if they want. But you know, it's the difference between just knowing about God and putting your faith and trust in God. I know there is a God. I believe what his word says. I know that I am a sinner. I am lost. There's coming destruction for my soul. And I am putting my faith and trust, not in myself, but I'm putting my faith and trust in God to take care of me. And that's what Rahab does. Rahab goes from her condition and she becomes a confession and the idea that, hey, I'm going to be okay here. God's going to take care of me. I want you to swear that you're going to help me because of the way I helped you. So not only is it Rahab in her condition and Rahab in her confession, I want you to see Rahab in her change of life. Rahab in her change of life. There's a difference here. And this is where we get to this 10%. There's this Christian life that many of us are not possessing the ground that God really wants us to possess. We're not winning the people that God wants us to win. We're not demonstrating the power of God in our lives. We're not living up to the testimony that God has given us inside. And that's what the nation of Israel does here. They don't possess all the land. They only do a portion of it. They only go a certain amount of time. But Rahab shows here, I have faith in this God, and it is proved and demonstrate it by the works that I do. Now, once again, salvation is not about works. It's by grace that you're saved. It's through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. But the Bible also talks about in James that if we have faith, there will be work that involves. If we really truly believe that the gospel is going to work, and as Paul said, he's not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation. If we really truly believe that, then we would go out and we try to win people to Christ. The problem is our faith is weak. The problem is we don't do it because we don't think it's going to work many times. Oh, yes, we do it. We pay lip service, but we stay in that 10%. That can work for the preacher. That can work during preaching. That can work for somebody else, but not for me. I'm not going to possess that land. I'm not going to apply that to my own life. I'm not going to apply it. Rahab, no. She has faith and she applies it. Look, it's proven by her new labors. There's a new work that's happened. And you read verses 2 through 22, you see Rahab is hiding the spies. She's helping them escape. She's giving them, she's doing the Lord's work here. And a saved person will demonstrate a saved life by the works they do. Don't get me wrong. It is, your salvation has nothing to do with your works. You're filthy rags. But if you're truly a Christian, there should be a difference in your life. There is such a difference between the life of the flesh and the life of the spirit. There is so much difference between something that you do in the flesh for yourself according to your own desires and what you do with the Spirit of God. And this is where I have struggles when people try to bring the world into the church. I don't think you can please the flesh and the spirit at the same time. It's one or the other. And that's what it comes here. She is proving her new labors. She is proving her faith because she's saying, and that's what she says to him in verse number 12. She says, now therefore I pray you, swear unto me, since I have showed you kindness, since I have demonstrated my faith, you can trust in me since I have proved that to you, now you're going to help me. Not only is there new labors, but also her new love. Now, when Rahab came to know the Lord, she wanted other people to know it. So she didn't only want to keep herself safe. She wants to keep her family safe. You know, if she goes and tells her family about this and says, you need to come over, I don't think it would have just been, hey, come on over, and there, guess what, have listened. I don't think that would have worked. I don't know. Because remember, the Israelites are going to be marching around the house. So it's not around the whole walls once, twice, three times, four times, five times, six times, and then seven times. You know, you're going to want to be in your own house around your own stuff. Now, Rahab tells them what's going on. Rahab shows them probably the scarlet thread and says, this is what happened. This is what's going on. She puts her life at risk there. Why does she do that? Because she loves her family. And anytime you really truly get it, and anytime you truly get converted, anytime you truly have faith and you want to demonstrate your faith, you're going to show love to those that you love them, and you're going to want to help them. You're going to share Christ with them. You're going to want to bring them under the umbrella of the protection. And that's she became active in trying to bring her family also into a belief. And when you know him, you're going to want to see others know him too. She put herself in danger because she wanted others to know. Not only was it proven by her new labors and her new love, but her new life. Say, Pastor, didn't she always love her family? And she may have, don't get me wrong. But when she had a job as a harlot, I'm sure that her family probably wasn't very proud of her. She probably didn't care much about what her family thought. But when she meets the one true God, everything changes. I want you to see her new life also. When Rahab came under the umbrella of the nation of Israel, everything in her life was transformed. The same day that the walls of Jericho fell down, she received a brand new life. Rahab was once again a picture of a person when they come to knowledge of Jesus Christ. There's changes in their life. The descriptions, the desires, the devotion, the delights, the destinations, they've all changed. Think about the new realities. Chapter 6, verses 20 through 25, anybody that was not in Rahab's house, gone. But the reality is, she is saved from destruction. The scarlet cord made the difference. And the scarlet cord represents the blood of Jesus Christ. And that cleanses us from all sins. And it's what makes the difference. It's the blood of Jesus Christ. It's the blood alone that makes the difference. It's the blood of the Lamb that we saw in Egypt that made the difference. And it's the blood of Jesus Christ that sets us aside from the wrath of God. Next thing is, not only there's new realities, there's new relatives. She's got brothers and sisters. I think that's kind of neat when we have brothers and sisters in Christ. But Rahab has a new family connections. You know, she's leaving behind most of Jericho. Obviously, there's some that's inside her household that is saved, but she has a new family in this family of Israel. She's brought into the nation of Israel. So how do you know that? Well, this is the cool part of the story here, is that she's in the line of Christ. You go to Ruth chapter 4, verse 21, she's mentioned there. You go to Matthew chapter 1, verse number 5. You know what? She's mentioned there. Now, we're talking about the harlot. We're talking about the one that used to sell her body. But God blesses her faith. God sees her faith. God sees how she works with her faith. And God says, I'm going to bless you. And then she has a new reputation. I think it's kind of neat when you hear stories about how people used to look at you one way and say one thing about you, but then there was a change in your life when you became a Christian, and they say, you know what? He doesn't do the things he used to do. He doesn't say the things he used to say. He doesn't act the way he used to do. He doesn't go drinking anymore with us. He doesn't go out to the bars anymore. He doesn't run around anymore. There's something different. There's something changed, you know. And sometimes you hear people say, well, they don't want to spend time with me anymore because I used to do these things, but I don't do them anymore. And because I don't do them anymore, they won't have anything to do with me. She has a new reputation. And the new reputation, she went from a house of shame to a hall of fame. You say, what do you mean a hall of fame? In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 31, there's only two women mentioned in that chapter. There's Sarah, and then there's Rahab. Sarah, you know, the mother of, you know, the nation, the wife of Abraham, you know, the father of the nation, you know, had to, you know, known for, and of course she messed up, but she was known for being a godly lady to this woman that was a harlot. I mean, completely different scenarios there, but you see, God blesses faith. God blesses your faith. And this is the whole point. Is God blessing your faith? Do we have the faith to continue on in this new triumph in these new lands? When we talk about rising up and building in our Christian lives, we see the nation of Israel on the brink of going to Canaan, the promised land, the victorious Christian living that God has intended. I told you last week, I don't think Canaan land refers to heaven, because in heaven there will be no conflict. There will be no conquest. Instead, heaven will always just be wonderful. We're just glorifying God. But Canaan land represents the victorious Christian life, that we stand on the brink of the Jordan River, and we have to cross over the Jordan, and by faith represent that God can do something in our lives. God blesses Rahab. He blesses the prostitute. He blesses the person that nobody else thought he would ever be able to bless. This is what everyone who comes to Christ receives. A new reality. No longer are they sinners that are dying and going to hell. They are saved by the grace of God, and they can have victory over their sin. No longer do they have new relatives, and the idea that they have brothers and sisters in Christ, but we become joint heirs together with Jesus Christ. That's exciting. We are joint heirs with Him. But also, we have a new reputation. We have a new testimony. God has taken us out of the gutter, not to go back in the gutter, but to live a life of faith that He can bless. Now, you might say, Pastor, this lesson, this message doesn't really work for us. None of us are really anybody that used to be a harlot or used to... No. You're missing the whole point is God can bless even that person. How much more can He bless you if you're willing to have the faith like Rahab had? It's simply putting your faith and trust in God, but reacting to it, demonstrating your faith. Yes, I believe He's God. Yes, I believe He can make a difference. Yes, I believe He's going to answer my prayer. Yes, I believe I can be a witness. Yes, I believe I'm supposed to be faithful. Yes, and we put faith, we put working to our faith. Once again, it has nothing to do with your salvation. I don't want you to get that mixed up. That's heresy. That's every other religion in this world besides Christianity. They say you got to do something in order to be saved. Christianity is the only one that says it's already been done. That's what the truth is. That's what separates us, that and how people view Jesus Christ. Two things that separate us. Well, what do I need to do to be saved? If they say, well, you got to do this work, then you say, they're wrong. So God blesses Rahab. We're going to see in the stories as they come along, God's going to bless people's faith. God has already given them this as a possession. And I think God helps them here with Rahab in this story. These two spies come back and say, what God said is true. I mean, they're going to get ready to face Jordan, and Jordan is not an easy thing. You got over 1 million people there that's going to say, we can't do it. Who is Joshua? You know, Moses couldn't do it. How can Joshua do this? And you know what? The spies come back and say, we can do this. God has already prepared the way. God has already placed the victory. All we have to do is just go claim it. The same type of thing if you... I love my grandmother. She's been gone since February, and she was a lady that had the publisher clearinghouse. And you know, and she used to spend so much money and time buying magazines. When we cleared out her house, she had cases and cases of magazines, boxes, just boxes of magazines. But she really believed it that you are a winner. She wanted to claim that prize, and she did everything she could. She had her faith in the wrong thing. You have victory through Jesus Christ, but you have to claim it. If you've won a prize somewhere and you don't go claim it, guess what's going to happen? You're going to lose it. You're not going to be able to take benefit of it. The possession of the land was theirs. We go back to that verse at the beginning when it says at the end of chapter 1, verse number 11, it says, to go in to possess the land, which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it. Christian, are you possessing the territory that God wants you to have? Are you having a victorious Christian life? Are we like the nation of Israel, living in the 10%? We have the Holy Spirit of God living inside of us. Let us rely on Him. Let us live a life of faith that God can actually bless. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet.